Matthew chapter 19. We'll be reading from three scriptures, two from Luke, one Luke and Luke chapter 22 and Luke chapter 10. First one in Matthew 19. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Luke 22. Luke 22 and verse 54. Then took they him, which was Jesus, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. The next one reading is in Luke 10. Luke 10, verse 39. Luke 10, verse 39. And she had a sister, that was Martha, had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. All through the New Testament, especially in the Gospels and the life of Jesus, every person that he came in contact with, he asked them to follow him. If you go and look when he went after his disciples, and he chose his disciples, when he met them at the marketplace or at the fishing grounds, wherever it was, he told them to follow him. He said, come, follow me. So that's what we're going to concentrate on tonight, following the Lord Jesus. I'd like to say before we go on, you can't follow the Lord Jesus unless you love the Lord with all your heart and trusted him as your own personal Savior. You could try in your own way to serve the Lord or to follow him, but without Jesus in your heart and in your life, it's impossible to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember the day when I changed my life and I started to follow the Lord Jesus. I was 19 years old. A rebel, I guess you could call me. Very rebellious to my parents. Living a destructive life, a life that surely, if I had continued, I probably wouldn't be living today. But all that changed, and I believe a lot of it changed because of my parents. I thank God for my godly parents, and young people, if you have godly parents, you should thank God every day of your life that you have godly parents that are guiding you in the right way. You might think they're old-fashioned and whatnot, but one day when you get old and you have kids, then you're going to appreciate them a lot more, trust me. I think my dad and mom had a lot to do with my conversion. As I said, I was a rebellious young boy. Came home late one afternoon in a drunken stupor. My dad and mom had gone to the beach. They carried Lana and Opal, and they went out to the beach, and I thought, well, I'll get home today, and I'll take a quick shower, and I'll be just fine as a kind. When they get home, I'll be sober, and they won't know that I've been drinking again. Well, it didn't happen like that. You know, we plan some things, but it don't happen. I went into the shower, and I turned the water on, and I don't remember anything else. I can only relate to you now what my dad and mom told me. Dad had just a strong urge to go home, and wasn't long been to the beach, and Len and Opal, they were upset. Why are you going home? They even tell me that today. Dad says, oh, I just feel uneasy. I want to go home. Thank God that he did. As they came home, they found me. They had to break the door down. And like I said, I don't believe I'd be here today if they hadn't come home, because the water was rising in the tub and probably I would have drowned. And they found me like that and they put me in the bed. I didn't wake up till the next morning about lunch, and I figured, you know, I'd just get up like all the days and go out to the kitchen. Mom would prepare dinner. I'd eat my dinner and off again, out with the boys to go and carouse. But something was different. I figured when I got to the table too, I was going to be scolded, and Daddy was going to take out the Bible and read it. And that didn't happen. When I came into the kitchen, I'll never forget it, Mom. She had my best meal cooked. Chili and white rice. You could have me over any time. You ain't going to cook that. I could eat it till it spouts out on me. And I said, oh boy, what a treat. They never did mention that to me, not one word about it. And I ate my meal. I left home. And I said, boy, they're probably trying to use some psychology on me. But I thank God that they handled it that way. They don't know how much that convicted me, because I felt sorry that I had let them down. It wasn't too long after that the comfort started, our annual comfort, right here at the chapel. And I don't think I went to one service, not one, until the last night. My dad asked me, he said, coming to church tonight? I said, yes, I'll come. The reason why I stayed away is because I was under conviction. I knew what I was doing, the life I was living. That's why I didn't want to come to church. I didn't want to hear the word. I was sitting right in the back, right down where the young people are sitting tonight. Brother Ed Allen was preaching. I don't remember one word he said. Not one word, truthfully. But all was going through my mind was, you got to change your lifestyle. Got to change the lifestyle. I remember Dad and Mom, how they handled that situation. I've never told them that before, but that really was what broke me. But it just took a long time for me to come around. When the invitation was given, the Holy Spirit shot me out of my seat just like a rocket. I'm telling you, he only got it out of his mouth. I stood up. I'll never forget it. I wanted to be saved. And they indicated to me that to go out of the back of the chapel and make my way over to the office. And there were others that got up too as well. My brother was one of them. And I don't think that was a good idea, thinking back on it, because my motorbike was right outside the chapel. And I saw her, and the devil told me, he said, get in that bike and go. So I didn't. I listened to the still small voice that was inside saying, no, you need to get it right tonight. And I went over in the office. It was one of the guest speakers. I can't even remember his name. I tried today. His elderly guy is probably on with the Lord right now, but we knelt down together. And right there, that's when I started to follow the Lord. I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. First passage of scripture that we read was about a young man. He came to the Lord Jesus and he said, Master, what good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, he came wrong right there, because there was nothing he had to do. All he had to do was humble himself, but everything was going to be done. The Lord, he had the Savior of the world right in front of him, the Lord Jesus. And he was the one that was going to make the way clear for him. But he thought his good works was going to get him to heaven, because the Lord Jesus told him, he knew all about him and all his wisdom, said, you got to obey the commandments. And he said, which ones? And the Lord Jesus told him, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I now? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect or clean, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. It says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. In my job, sometimes we have yachts come, and more than one happen to come at the same time. So we'll be carrying up sometimes 2, 3, 4. I've carried one line 13. I don't think I'll do that again. That might be a little bit too treacherous to do that. But sometimes we carry like 3 in one line would be a comfortable trail of boats. And I make sure one thing, that when I get on the boats, I make them be all in the same channel on the VHF. Because if I don't do that, it could mess up. I always need to be in contact with them to let them know if they're going wrong. It's another thing I always wonder about when I get on those yachts. Some of them are very expensive, by the way. That captain has to place me in control. Remember, he's the captain of that boat, and he's trusting a pilot to take him through the treacherous waters. And some of those boats are like $30 million boats. And I was thinking about that. That captain has to allow me, a pilot, to trust me like that. You know, that must be a lot of faith. He's got a lot of faith in me to do that. I was thinking about that in the spiritual realm. That's what we have to do. We might try to be the captain of our ship. But if we want to have the joy and the peace in our lives, and we want to be satisfied, the satisfaction that you're seeking for, we need to allow the perfect pilot to come on board on our lives. You know that is the Lord Jesus Christ. When we place him in our lives, then he could pilot us safely through the waters of life. This young man in this story that we read about, he thought good works was going to get him to heaven. I believe there are some people in the church today, probably active in the church, maybe teaching a Sunday school class or singing in the choir. They think that they're going to get by on their good works, but it's not going to happen. You have to come to that place where you realize you are lost. You have to bow the knee before the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to confess him as Lord and Savior of your life. That is the only way you're going to get through the channels of life. That is the only way you're going to get through to glory, to heaven. It'll be a sad day for you if you die, go out of this world without making that commitment. You'll stand before the Lord and you'll say, Lord, I serve you in your name. I taught Sunday school classes. I sang in the choir. But you'll hear him say those awful words, depart from me, I never knew you. And you'll be separated from God throughout all eternity. That will be a real, real sad day for you, especially being brought up here in Spanish Wells in a privileged place like Spanish Wells, where the Word of God is preached as often as it is. I'm telling you, it will be just the memories in eternity of the opportunities that you had to trust Christ. I'll tell you, eternity will be awful for you. But it doesn't have to be that way. You could trust Christ as your Savior tonight. Let's turn over to Luke 22 and verse 54. Then took they him, Jesus, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. Now, if you was to look up in verse 33, and the Lord Jesus told Peter that the devil was going to take him in. And, well, let's read it. The Lord said, this 31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may shift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And Peter said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. Are we going to speak to the Christians a little bit right now? I believe when I saw that, I saw it so clear. It said Peter followed afar off. I believe as we go through this life, as Christians, how we get away from God, it starts with little things. And we just go further and further away till we far away from God. Just a few moments before then, or a day before, Peter said, look, I'll die for you, Lord. I'll go to prison with you. But when the heat was put on, Peter was afar off. I don't like to knock Peter that much because he became one of the great evangelists in the Word of God. He's the man that preached on the day of Pentecost and thousands of souls were saved. But this low period was in his life. And it came because he had too much self-confidence. Confidence in himself. And not putting his trust in the Lord to follow the Lord. That was why Peter failed at this time. And he was afar off. We could get far off from God in our lifestyles. Day by day as we go through this community. The places we go. You know, we could wind up going places. We know it's wrong. We say, I ought not go there. I ought not go there with my friends. I know it's wrong, but what harm could it do? And then you go and, well, nothing happened. I didn't do anything wrong. But you were in a bad environment. You already planted a seed. And then what happens later? Then you develop bad habits. And these habits can control you and can consume you. And when you find out, you're slipping further and further away from the Lord. This happens to many Christians. But you know what the Word of God tells us. We can always get close to Him or get near to Him. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin, from all unrighteousness. We read that verse a lot, but do we really know how important that verse is to the Christians? Because that was wrote to the Christians. When we apply the blood to our lives, when we're first born again, every time we do something wrong and we confess it to Him after we're saved, we've been washed clean. The Lord Jesus presents us to the Father clean. Doesn't that make you happy tonight? I know it does with me. In the church, we could slip away when we start to lose our love for one another. And this is one of the signs that Jesus gave us that we know that we are His disciples, that we have love one for another. then something that I know is a lack in our community is love for fallen Christians. You know, it's very easy to step somebody down when they're fallen. But that's not the way the Church of Jesus Christ should be. We should love them to try to woo them back into fellowship with God's people. That should be our attitude, not to step down, but to build up. When we're going to Harbor Island on these boats, forgive me for bringing this up, but I've got these thoughts today as I was bringing a boat through the devil's backbone. Those boats got way far behind. They could hit a reef. And if they're not on the right channel, where I could tell them where to go and they're going to do it themselves. And believe me, there's some wild people on those boats, some reckless people, and they don't care. They could shipwreck their boats. It's never happened as yet, but I've seen some close calls. When we get away from God, further and further away, we'll become shipwrecked. I'll guarantee you. And I'll tell you, it's sad to see a Christian's life shipwrecked out there, just sunken, sunk down low. Oh, but Jesus is always there. He's right there with you. He's just a prayer away to just to restore that joy of you when you first gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's nothing like it, I'll tell you. When you renew your relationship again afresh with the Lord Jesus, the joy you receive is just tremendous. Let's look at the last verse, Luke 10 and verse 39. And she had a sister, Martha had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now we could say many things about this lady. But what I want us to focus on just for a minute or two is where this lady was. She was sitting at his feet. She was close. When the boats follow, when I'm piloting, when they're close, everything is fine. If they get too far away, then something can happen. But there she is, just gleaning from the Lord. And what she's doing there at his feet, she wants to hear his words. Christians, this is the guideline right here for us day by day. This is the pattern right here. If you're a young Christian, older one as well, if you're away from God, you need to get back into this word. Every time we neglect this word, this is when we fail and this is when we falter. I suggest that you read the New Testament, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read the life of Christ. You know, there's a saying that went around, it went wildfire. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And, you know, everybody was saying it. But I think that was just a little bit too shallow, because I believe a lot of people don't even know what Jesus would do. When we get into circumstances in life and we fall into a problem, then what would Jesus do? If we're not gleaning from the Word, if we don't know His Word, we're not reading about the Lord Jesus the way He lived, and we're not committed to the Lord, letting the fruits of the Spirit manifest through our lives every day, then how are we going to know what would Jesus do? I'll tell you, one woman knew was Mary, because she sat right at his feet, listening to the words of Jesus. You know what Jesus said? Martha complains, says, Lord, I'm serving. Mary should be helping me. But he said, look, this is needful, sitting at my feet, listening to my words. And it's good It's what the Lord Jesus said. It's good. So you being out here at church tonight, listening to the word, even though it's being spoken feebly, you're gleaning something from the word. But you need to get into the word to yourself. You need to dig. Find the treasures that are in there that's going to help you through this life, as you sail through life, through the struggles of life. The word will help you, will strengthen you, and help you every day of your life to follow God. Phyllis, I hope you don't mind me saying this. My wife's a good seamstress. I guess there's many women in here that are good seamstresses, but she's really good. She made a wedding dress, and I've watched her make a few dresses. And when she used to make dresses, she'd buy a pattern, and she'd lay it out, and then she'd cut the material just how the pattern said to cut it. And then she'd sew it together just how the pattern said, the same size and everything. And she followed the pattern. Then when she was finished, she'd put it on, and if I was around the house, she'd say, "How does this look?" And I'd look at her, I'd say, "Did you make that?" And she'd say, "Yes." And I'd say, "It's beautiful." That's what happens to a Christian. When you follow God's pattern, you become beautiful in His sight. And beautiful to other people. And you'll be a blessing to other people. I trust that we all will learn. This is a deep subject. It goes real far. It goes real deep and goes far. But I trust we'll learn to follow Him more day by day in our Christian walk. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're truly thankful for Your word. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, these few words that were spoken tonight, Lord, we just pray that it will take an effect on people's lives, on young people and older ones as well. Lord, if anyone's in here and they're not truly born again, help them to realize they need to make that decision before it's forever too late. Lord, we pray for we as Christians that we'll be strong, strong in our walk, following God steadfastly, not afar off, but close. Sitting close by Jesus, realizing that He is with us. He is near us every day, every step of the way. Lord, now we pray for our fellowship and our time together. We thank You for the hands that have prepared the food, Lord. And we just ask that the food that will be eaten will be taken, and the nourishment that we receive from it, Lord, that You'll take it, and the strength that we receive, we will use it for Your praise and for Your honor and for Your glory. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name.